And a very happy Friday morning, everybody. Friday, December 30th, 2022. Tom Drake's Daily Cruise and Travel News Podcast brought to you by The Snood Factory. www.thesnoodfactory.com. Your home for Maine USA clothing to keep your pooches and your puppies warm. Tom Drake, of course, who would it be? It's my podcast. We are in Barbados. I'm on board the beautiful Oceana Serena. We have arrived in Barbados very early this morning, about 4:15, 4:30 this morning. We had guests actually leave at 5 a.m. to catch flights out of here because flying in and out of Barbados is not easy, especially if you're flying into the United States. If you're flying to Canada or England, it's a little bit easier. So they're out of here. It is turnaround day in our business. That means that the guests that were with us for this 10-day cruise leave, and we have new people coming on for the 12-day cruise. We do have 158 that will be with us back-to-back. They'll be with us for our New Year's 12-day cruise as graphic. And I am scheduled to perform tomorrow night, New Year's Eve. We're going to laugh our way into the new year. And I will admit I'm a little bit under the weather, and there will not be a podcast tomorrow. There wouldn't be much to talk about anyway other than what's coming up now, China and Southwest Airlines. That's all that's in the news. So I'm going to take it easy tomorrow. I will be back on Monday. I want everybody to have a happy New Year. So let me get that done. We are in Barbados. We are in Barbados, I should say. And the word come from? It was a Portuguese word, and it meant the bearded ones. I just read that, and I guess this was a favorite place for ZZ Top, because if anybody was the bearded one, all right, I made that part up. It also has an interesting history as a slave island going way back when. I mean, serious slave island, and not just African Americans. Irish people were brought here against their will and put into what they called indentured servitude. So if you're a woker from California, you might want to read up on this island. If you want to topple statues in the U.S., you might not enjoy the history of this island. Not my job to give you opinions one way or the other when it comes to that. My job is to talk about what's going on in the cruise and travel industry. It begins with China. I mentioned yesterday that China has opened their borders. It's created quite a controversy around the world because, as you know, China at the moment has a very, very big outbreak of COVID. I mean, it was only a couple weeks ago that they were arresting people. They were putting them in internment camps. They were quarantining them. I mean, what happened is their economy sucks, and their Xi Jinping, Bing Bang Boom, whatever his name is, that guy, he decided they need money, and so they'll put anybody at risk. They've proven that. 100 times over by lying about COVID, lying about the virus, lying about how it got here, lying about how it started, not even admitting it started there, lying and lying and lying, and that's all they do. So they don't care about anybody around this is just themselves and maintaining power. This has created a problem because now the Chinese people are allowed to leave China, and they want to get the hell out, and they want to come to the United States. And so what does the United States do about this? Well, we can't stop them because we would be xenophobic. But we can ask, we can't test them because if we test them, we'll be xenophobic. So we ask for a negative COVID test. I personally think that's the dumbest thing I've heard because honestly, you can't trust them, so you must test them. That's just the way it is. And yesterday, a flight arrived from China to Milan, Italy, and they test them in Italy. Why not? It's where it began. If you go back and do your own research, you'll find out they went from China to Italy, Italy to Europe, Europe to the United States. They tracked it. That much they know because we shut China down. So how did they get here? They went through Italy to Europe and over here eventually. It spread throughout Europe first. I don't need to tell you that. Do your own homework. Anyway, in Italy, they said, the hell with you. They test everybody when they arrive. Half the people on the flight tested positive for COVID. 50% of the people on the flight from China tested positive from COVID. It doesn't say whether or not they brought their negative COVID test. You can't trust it. You can't trust the test. And you also can't trust whether or not they pick it up between the time they get tested and the time they get on the plane. And I don't feel bad about this. When the cruise industry restarted in Greece, and I flew to Athens and then on to Piraeus to join the Riviera, I needed a negative COVID test to get into the country of Greece. Then when I arrived at the ship, because I'm a guest on board, not a crew member, I'm a guest, I myself, along with the rest of the guests, were tested again. Now, I was going to work. These other people invested thousands of dollars into their vacation. And they weren't sure they were going to have a vacation, because if they tested positive, they were either going home or into 2-week quarantine. Because remember, there was 14 days, and nobody felt bad about that because nobody knew what was going on. So we all lived it. I remember I told a joke about it, because we would sit outside the ship in a parking lot in Piraeus. We were tested in a tent, given a number. My number was 33. If my number appeared on this big white board, that meant I tested negative and I could get on the ship. And it became like COVID bingo. All of us are sitting in these folding chairs looking at the board. And when the number came up, you would see the people scream like they were little kids, because they knew they weren't going home, or they knew they weren't going to quarantine. Either way, they weren't going on the ship. And that was the rules of the country. They didn't want us putting people with COVID on the ship and sailing around. And they didn't want us to come on the ship and give it to the crew, because the crew was tested. When I was on Princess, I was tested every other day, COVID tested. That's how, what's the word it was? Severe it was. So to ask the Chinese when they come into the United States to be tested, I don't think that's xenophobic. I don't think it's racist. I think it's common sense. Now, the liberal press will float the idea, well, what about Australia? Australia's got a big problem. Did we stop Australia? Australia didn't start it. Australia, you can trust. You can't trust China. That's not xenophobic. That's honest. Sometimes honesty really bothers people. No, can't do it. Japan, they're testing them. Taiwan, they're testing them. The French, come on in. Does that surprise anybody? We welcome our friends from China. You know why? France needs their money. There's a nipple. It's called the world economy. And certain world leaders have to use that a lot, and including the guy that runs France at the moment. But if you want to get sick to your stomach, you can go on CNN and look at their latest story about this, because they rolled out all the liberal so-called experts. One of them is the associate professor at the School of Public Health at the University of Hong Kong. Yeah, there's an honest person to speak to, really. First of all, she's in Hong Kong, which is now controlled by Communist China. She from Canada, sorry. I'll pretend I'm Canadian. Sorry, she's from Canada. And she went to school in the United States. She went to Harvard. She has a PhD from Harvard. It's actually a PhD in health with a parenthesis economics. So she studied what money did to the health industry, I guess. But now she's an associate professor in Hong Kong. Here's her point of view about even COVID testing for the Chinese to make sure we protect ourselves from new variants, because that's the issue. Are they going to bring in another variant that we don't know about, because China doesn't tell us about any of that stuff? And they won't tell the World Health Organization. Well, they control that, and that bozo. Anyway, this is what this woman says. She's a sweetheart. She said, in order to protect our own country, we should step over vaccinations, maintain social distancing, and other basic public health measures. In other words, put a mask back on so the Chinese can come visit. Sorry, I'll pay more taxes. Make sure they get tested, and the hell with them. And that's all. And there's another guy, too. He's from the Council on Foreign Relations. Who the hell is that? What is that? All right. And he said, so far, we don't have any evidence supporting whether there are indeed such variants emerging in mainland China. There's the answer, you jackass. We don't have any evidence. How about producing some? But China doesn't tell anybody anything. Now, I know you probably stopped listening already. There's 4 people left in this podcast. But I started the podcast for this reason, because nobody will talk to me on the ship. So I talk to the little microphone and I go crazy. All right, let's change the tone of this podcast. It's hard to believe that I'm sick. It's hard to believe I have a little bit of a fever and not feeling really well. I'm fired up today. Where do you want... Oh, this is a funny story. How could it be funny? It's funny. There's a company called Cirium, C-I-R-I-U-M. It's a flight data provider. It sounds like something they put in a suitcase bomb, to be honest with you. Anyway, every year they put out the annual ranking of who was the best on-time airline. And my sister-in-law will like this. It went to Delta this year. Delta was on time more than any other airline in North America. 84.1% of the time they got there when they said they were going to be there. They barely beat Alaska Airlines, much smaller airline. A lot easier, I think, on time. Delta's massive. They arrived 81.4% of the time. The airline that was the worst? Air Canada. Air Canada arrived on time 55% of the time. Barely half. barely half, a little more than half the time they were on time. The rest of the time they were late. And it makes sense because the Canadians are always sorry. So they're comfortable saying sorry. So they're late again. And the captain's in front of the cockpit going, sorry, we were late. And the Canadians are going, ah, that's okay, you were late. The Canadians are saying to the Americans, we're Canadian, sorry we're late. You know, the Canadians are going, you're always late. Yeah, sorry, you know. And everybody's okay. They're sorry. They're sorry we're late and everybody's happy. A little more than 55% of the time they're on time. So when you book an Air Canada flight, you don't book it with like you know, where you change planes. What I want, that layover? Don't book that. And I want to stop right now and say something. I sometimes beat up on the airline. Sometimes, all the time. Our flight from Orlando to Newark was late arriving. We missed our connecting flight to get to Lisbon to join the Serena on the previous contract. And we were stuck because my wife needed to be in Portugal to take over the ship the next day. We were between, we had a problem. You've heard this story before in my video update. A gentleman named Boris Cano at United saved the day. He made sure, this is at like midnight, he got us on a flight from Newark to Heathrow, business class, and then from there to Lisbon, we got there in time. Our luggage was left behind in Newark. He arranged for our luggage to get where it needed to be, took care of everything. So not every airline is a mess. But then again, there's Southwest. Southwest and Pete Buttigieg. Where do you start with this story? Southwest continues to screw up everything, and they're in deep trouble here because one of the issues is they received $7 billion of tax money during the bailout. We, the taxpayers, gave them $7 billion. And this year, the new CEO, Bob Gordon, I think his name is, had decided he was going to give the shareholders about $500 million in dividend money instead of investing in software. Because the problem that's coming out now is that the software for Southwest is outdated and they can't, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. In fact, it's so bad it probably can be part of the federal government. They can nationalize this and put it under, you know, the motor vehicle. But anyway, so you've got this guy over here, Gordon, he's in deep doo-doo. And this is what happened, though, as I read more and more, and you probably read it too, but this way, if you're doing nothing, I'll tell you the story anyway. They allowed people to get to the airport, check in, give them their bags, they went to security, and then they canceled the flight. So now they're on the other side, and they're trying to find out how they're going to get a flight, and they're told, don't bother us, we're busy. Go back out to the non-secure area and wait in line out there, or call somebody, or go screw, pretty much. So now the people are like, well, we need to get, we're going on vacation to Hawaii. We have to get to Hawaii. We have a hotel for 7 days. We paid in advance. They're waiting for us. So they book another flight, right? They book another and they pay a fortune for it. Where's our bags? Can we get our bags back? We're busy. They never got their bags back. Piles and piles of luggage just left stranded. So the people had to buy clothes to wear when they went on vacation. They had to pay more for a new ticket. Now they have to hope Southwest will pay them back. It is just a domino effect of dumbness. I made that up. A domino of dumbness. That's the new slogan for Southwest Airlines. The domino of dumbness airline. Now you got, speaking of dumbness, you got Pete Buttigieg. He's the Secretary of the Department of Transportation. Now listen, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, this guy's an idiot. He should never have been given this job. It was a political payoff. You know, he was a little city mayor, and you know, he was a big promoter of Biden. He ran for president for an hour like the rest of them. Remember, Biden ran for the presidency three times. It took him 25 years to get the job. And Buttigieg is, he's young and, you know, he's got a lot of time to be a moron. Then he'll eventually become the president. In the meantime, while he's the secretary of the DOT, he decides to adopt two kids with his partner and take 3 months off for maternity leave. He didn't deliver the kid. He bought the kid. He picked him up somewhere. But he took 3 months off to get his twins. He wanted to get acquainted with his twins. Meanwhile, the DOT is, forget it. They don't get anything right. Anyway, so Buttigieg is in trouble. Even the liberal are eating their own. Even Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren are all over Buttigieg. But Southwest, and now they put out a report saying they think it'll be better this weekend. And now they kind of rescinded that report. It's not going to get any better this weekend. They're canceling more flights. So anybody that has a flight on Southwest, you know, oh, the rental car companies have to love this. Because if it was one of those, you know, like if you're really need to get there to see your family for Christmas, you rented a car and you drove, and then you got in the middle of a bomb cyclone. I'm lucky. I'm sailing around the Caribbean, baby. right, now we're going to change the tone of this podcast to the other direction, and we'll talk about Brazil. MSC announced they have a new ship going to Brazil. I might have talked about Brazil in the past during my video updates or maybe on this podcast. I don't remember. There is no more aggravating place in the world to visit than Brazil. First of all, to get a visa to visit Brazil is a giant pain in the tuchus. If you have months to wait, I needed a visa in a hurry to go to Brazil. I drove to Miami. I couldn't get it the same day. I had to get a hotel room, stay overnight. Come back tomorrow. They move that slow. It gets worse. As a guest entertainer on the ship, I have to have a work visa in Brazil. Now, I'm not working in Brazil. I'm working when the ship's out on the water. But the Brazilians consider that water their water. And it can't be because it's clean. But we're not allowed to perform without a work visa. You can't get a work visa. It's impossible. It's Joseph Heller all over again. It's Catch 22. They make it too hard. So we get a tourist visa. Some cruise lines have asked me to perform, which would have been illegal. I said, I'm not doing it. So I waited to Argentina or Chile to perform. And on top of that, and they monitor it. They look at the current programs and stuff, places to make sure we don't do it. They have nothing else to worry about. Why don't you fix a street now and then? On top of that, they put a tax on the cruise ships. When you're in Brazil, including the water they claim is theirs, you pay 25% extra for drinks and anything you buy in the boutique. They bang you for 25%. Nobody does that. Now, if you're in Miami and you have a drink when the ship's in port, you pay sales tax. But nobody bangs them 25%. Why am I rambling on? Because we still go there. I wouldn't go there. If I owned a cruise line, the hell with you. You make it too hard to get. Ask anybody that's ever been to Brazil. It's so hard to get a visa. And you get there, you're getting charged this extra money. And give her this. And the only, Rio is the only place. The rest is an armpit. Is that racist? I don't care. Anyway, MSC is down there in a big way. They brought the brand new ship, the Seashore, down there, and they have MSC Cruises Brazil Country Manager. Everybody has a title in this business. I don't know if it's a man or a woman. Adrian Urselli, anyway. Anyway, according to Adrian, it is a trademark tradition at MSC to send a different vessel to debut in the Brazilian market every year. Okay. My thought is that the one that was there last year didn't want to go back, but I could be wrong. So they sent the newest ship, it's called the Seashore, and they christened it again. It was christened in New York a couple weeks, 3 weeks ago or something, and now it's been christened again. They had a Brazilian christening ceremony. I don't even want to go down the road of what that might be. But they're down there, and they're down there in a big way, and I love his quote. I'm trying to find it here. I want to do a little exactly the way he said it. Basically, he said, you know, they do what they do because that's, oh, here it is. We continue to work to evolve and improve our services with a quality offer for the Brazilian market, as a leader must do. Well, the first thing a leader must do is get Grammarly, because you're another guy that can't put out a press release and use English. Oh, boy, he's in a rare mood tonight. So what time do we have? What are we at? We're at 17 minutes. We're done. I won't even talk to you about it. There's a new hotel going in Las Vegas. The Fountain Blue. And I looked into it very quickly. They've been trying to build a hotel on this property since 2007. And the Fountain Blue Las Vegas will open next year. They borrowed $2 billion. And the people that are building it and running it have never been in the casino business. Ask Donald Trump how that works out if you don't know what you're doing. All right, let's get out of here. Long enough as far as I'm concerned. You guys have a very happy and safe New Year. I will talk to you on Monday, and I won't say prayers, but keep your fingers crossed that my flu doesn't get any worse, because they're depending on me tomorrow on New Year's Eve to help laugh our way into 2023. We'll see how that works out. Talk to you Monday.